everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show. On the other side of the glass, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. It's the kickoff week of our 6 year of radio talk here on Buckmaster, coming to you live via Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We've got our podcasts and all of our shows pretty much since we began 5 years ago, available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. As usual, we have an hour that is loaded with content, beginning with a University of Arizona climate scientist giving us an update on El Nino, then 20 past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman coming in black and blue after yesterday's drubbing on Wall Street, but Shelley has a smile on his face, says things are pretty much stable for today, or flat, as they say. Shelley will have his Tuesday Moneymaker report for us. 12:30 today, New Year's resolutions concerning your health care, our monthly Year Med segment. Dr. Ray Woosley joins us. Then we'll close out the hour with the Buckmaster Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater, featuring Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan, an award-winning writer and author. She's been with the Weekly since 1990. Our live line number 790-2040. If there's any time during the hour that you would like to join in the conversation, we welcome your call. Our Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can also follow us on Twitter. Slowly but surely, picking up a Twitter fan here and a Twitter fan there at Buckmaster Show. Let's welcome now on the live line Dr. Michael Crimmins. Mike is the associate professor, one of the associate professors in soil, water, and environmental science at the University of Arizona. He is a climate scientist, an expert in El Nino. Mike, how are you?
Hi, Bill. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And it's been a weird weather year so far. I mean, last week it was 40 degrees for the daytime high in the darkness of the North Pole. How do you figure that? My goodness.
Yeah, you know, El Nino has been sort of wreaking havoc all over the globe. And I think we're now getting our chance to just this week see what it has in store for us.
What do we have now? This is the highly advertised system of storms. We've got three lined up this way. Might be a little bit of a pause for a few days, but we definitely are in the El Nino pattern. And Mike, what does that mean?
So yeah, that's a really good kickoff question here. And so I think the first important thing is to think of El Nino as not an individual weather event. You know how we have this struggle when we call during the monsoon season, we call individual storms monsoon storms, or the monsoons hit you last night. That's not quite the way to think of the monsoon season, and El Nino is the same way. It's really a very slowly varying, global in reach climate phenomenon, and it's been something that's actually been building for almost a year and a half now, which is a bit unusual. It's a shift in the tropical convection in the Pacific Ocean. It's further east than it normally is, and that's what gives its impact on actually the global circulation, and in our terms, it's the jet stream pattern that we're interested in, and that is indeed what has sort of locked in for this week in particular.
One of my friends on Facebook is a pilot, and he was talking about, he flies for JetBlue, and he was talking about how the pattern is really a bit unusual, isn't it, the jet right now? It's very south. It's gone south.
It is, and it's that hallmark shift in the jet stream where it is now. It's just screaming across the Pacific Ocean from all the way from Japan right into the California coast, and that's indeed what's sort of funneling the storm systems, and they're all lined up across the Pacific, and that again is that sort of El Nino classic pattern what we got this week.
So El Nino for us means more moisture, and I guess for the Pacific Northwest, which had had terrible drought and all the big fires that have been going on over the last 4 or 5 years, they've really been getting a lot of precipitation in Seattle, Portland, that area, correct?
Yeah, this one, you know, as we saw it, again, it's been building for almost 18 months now, and it really locked in last spring. And as you go into the fall and winter, you start to look for the classic pattern of the West, the Northwest sort of drying out and seeing a lot of their storm activity shift to the south, and we end up getting an enhanced storm track. But it was a little different this fall and into early winter, where the jet stream split, and we had a branch of the jet stream that was just piping all sorts of moisture through Mexico and up through the southern Great Plains and up through the Midwest, and you've heard about all the flooding there. So that definitely was related to El Nino. And then there was this sort of more northern branch, the polar jet, which would had been dumping storm after storm at the Pacific Northwest while we sat pretty quiet through November and December. So that was a bit unusual, and I think that so you've got this amazing snowpack that's building all the way from the Pacific Northwest, and I think now it's really going to shift to the south here, and now we're queued up to really to see what we really expect to see, which is drying out in the Pacific Northwest and really wetting up down here across the Southwest.
Mike, some of those areas in the Northwest and the Cascades, they're having record snowpack, which
yeah.
is really, really good news, because that's going to carry over and translate to next summer and fall and the fire season. But California, the Sierra, maybe not as much as the Pacific Northwest, but they're still getting some good snow.
They are, and some spots of the Sierra are slightly above average, which they have not been in many years now. So this, again, when going into this El Nino, we thought this really spells trouble for the Pacific Northwest and even Northern California. Well, they got lucky, and they scored a bunch of this sort of early season precip. I expect now that we will see the action shift to the south. They will then sort of fall behind. So if they've built up enough snowpack, they may end up even averaging out to average by the end of the season, even if it slows down at this point.
So before the El Nino really kicked in this week, we had two really hard freezes last year during the whole calendar year, pretty much the whole winter last year. I didn't have to cover the plants, but this year already I've covered them three or four times.
Absolutely.
So with this moisture, these storms have been so far this week fairly warm. Is that a pattern that you would expect to continue through the winter, Mike Crimmins?
Yeah, so that kind of caught me by surprise, the fact that we had these, you really can look at the data and you see these really three distinct cold spells in sort of late November and then two through December. I, going into the season, thought, well, once that jet drops down here and the humidity builds in, you don't really have that opportunity to really freeze out at night because of all that dry air. Well, we had just enough dry air hanging in through December that we got those nice hard freezes. Now, I expect with this shift in the pattern, and you can kind of feel it, these dew points are up in the 40s, that's going to keep the overnight temps quite a bit warmer. If that continues, and I expect it probably will for the next couple of months, more humid conditions, the overnight temps then would be moderated by this increased humidity.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in here with Mike Crimmins from the University of Arizona. We've got Lauren at 790-2040. Go ahead, Lauren.
Thank you, gentlemen. I got a quick question. With the increase in snowpack or possible influx of rain, are we going to have any good news for the lake levels of Lake Mead and Lake Powell?
Yeah, every snowflake counts, every drop counts. I think that this is going to help with stream flows into the both the reservoirs. But again, one season does not, break a drought in this long term. We're really looking at 5, 10, 15 years of drought. So again, I think we'll see some improvements, but unless this kind of really wet El Nino winter continues next winter and the following winter, we're still going to have that sort of trouble on the reservoir levels in the long term.
Mike, what would you say about total rainfall for the winter? We're looking at this event, maybe these three storms, maybe an inch and a half here in the valley. This would give us a wet winter leading into, of course, then the obvious question, what will happen with the summer rainy season?
Yeah, I have no idea going into the rainy season is, the forecast in the morning, you're not sure how it's going to play out in the afternoon. So it's really, really difficult looking out this far in advance. I think for the rest of the winter, though, I'm looking at some charts here, and we do this funny thing with meteorologists, hydrologists, water resources managers. We celebrate New Year's on October 1st, so that's the beginning of the water year.
Hmm.
Looking at Tucson, the total for the water year is actually above average. We're at about 3.59 inches at the airport, which is above average for this time. So if we keep on this path, we're going to be up over 4.5, maybe 5 inches in the next couple of weeks. We're just going to keep on bumping along. I think it's very little chance that we'll fall behind and be below average by April, May, and I expect that we may be a couple of inches above average by that point in time.
All right, we're going to work one more call in. David at 790-2040. David with Mike Crimmins from the U of A.
Yes, I think we shouldn't be too, assured that, thinking that this drought is over. Our land use issues where we're converting thousands of acres of desert into high water use, you know, housing developments, golf courses, all kinds of development, and we're relying on the Colorado River, which is in a steep decline. And I went to a seminar at the University of Arizona a few years ago about global warming, and they said that Arizona will be hit the worst by climate change. We'll experience the worst as far as declining precipitation and temperature increases, and yet we're still blading thousands of acres of our desert, turning in.
All right, David, Mike, go ahead on your comment. This is not going to put us out of a drought, which we've been in for 15 years, I think.
Yeah, you know, and I think that we've got to think of drought a little more complexly, in the sense that there are short-term drought conditions which can emerge over a couple of months, which can have impacts very, very immediate short-term, and that is largely improved. And you'll see the drought monitor probably, Arizona may even go drought-free, but again, that's only reflecting the short-term conditions. I completely agree with you. We're not kicking the long-term drought, and that was my point earlier, is that if we're talking about, we need to have wet winter after wet summer after wet winter, which is hard to do here in Arizona, and we have much longer term challenges with climate change and increasing temperatures and increasing stress on water resources. But in the short term, I think that this is really beneficial, but we still have to be very sort of drought ready and water conscious, clearly living in the desert down here.
All right, I've got 30 seconds left. Richard, I will take your call. Go ahead, you're with Mike Krims. Go ahead.
Thanks, Bill. Sir, with these biblical global warming type rains we're getting, this incredible flooding in the heartland of the Mississippi, with the oceans rising, could we reach a point in time where when the rivers flood and the oceans rise, that we just say, you know what, they're not going to recede?
Okay. Mike
Krims. You're moving water around, so all this extra energy and moisture is being dumped up there, and this is definitely related to El Nino in the short term. But hydrology, we won't have the oceans rise up where we're backing up rivers into the heartland, but those coastal areas will definitely have issues with increasing sea level and flood water sort of interacting.
Mike Krims, thank you very much for being with us from the University of Arizona, U of A climate scientist. Good session with you, Mike. Thanks very much.
Good talking with you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. All right, coming up next, we're going to go from El Nino to... How do I transition into that one, Shelley? We're going into the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, which we can hold our nose as we try to stay above water, right? Okay, there you go. We'll be right back. Shelley Fishman.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Tuesday at about 12:20 or so, we consult with our certified financial planner on the Buckmaster Show, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Bill.
Well, the new year didn't start all that great yesterday, the business new year on Wall Street. I believe it was kind of the biggest drop of a start of a session for a year since the Great Recession began in 2008.
Well, it was, and then it wound up not so bad. I mean, if you were looking at the numbers in Mountain Time at noon,
just like 450
down, and it stayed there for a while.
Yeah.
And wound up, you know, down 250. Stayed above 17,000 on the Dow. Stayed above 5,000 on the S&P, or rather 5,000 on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. And 2000 on the S&P. So we were in pretty decent shape most of the day. What was really interesting is that the bond market was acting normally for a change. In a down market, bond market actually did okay.
That's why people have the bonds
well,
in their
right.
portfolio.
Well, that's right. It stabilizes a portfolio mm-hmm. and makes people not immune to downswings, but certainly less vulnerable to a day's shifts like we had yesterday.
China was the catalyst for the kind of the worldwide sell-off, but you wonder if there might have been some folks just willing to kind of bail at that point.
Well,
use that
as
an excuse.
I think people do use excuses, mm-hmm. but China did something very unusual. They periodically will set the exchange rate between their currency, the yuan, and other major currencies. It doesn't float in the market like ours does. They fix it, but they fix it in a much more sensitive fashion to the other currencies and the general economic conditions than they used to. They fixed their currency against the dollar at a lower number than the market was expecting. And so when the markets opened up, we had a 6 or 7% decrease in the markets in Shanghai and one of the other Chinese markets. I can't remember exactly which one at the moment. And it actually triggered a safety mechanism that the Chinese had put into their markets, which stopped trading.
Completely?
Completely stopped trading in those markets. That, you know, and by the way, we have those in our markets as well.
Okay.
And that just panicked everybody. So the rest of the Asian markets took a look at that and said, well, we better be really cautious. And so we started to see not a 6%, but 2% drops in the Asian markets, especially the Japanese markets. Then the European markets caught on. We saw, 1.5% to 2% drops there. And remember, the European markets were positive last year, more so than we were even. And so that was kind of a shock. And then when we opened up, it looked like a rout at the beginning, and then it kind of tapered off, and things wound up not too bad. And today we're in positive territory in all of the indices, and our bond indices have held. So even though the stock indices have kind of come back, that we were down about 70 points earlier, have come back to flat, the bond indices have held in positive territory.
So for your clients, this was almost a textbook yesterday about why you should have bonds and why you should be properly allocated.
Oh, absolutely. If you needed to prove to yourself that when you're getting older and you need access to those funds, you shouldn't be in the middle of a risky portfolio, yesterday was the day.
Allocation is so important. I've often compared it to kind of the winemaker who looks for the right kind of the right mixture of the wine, and the wine in this case, of course, is a financial portfolio.
Absolutely. What my job is, and what the job of people like me and do what I do, what our major jobs are, is to get people's allocations correct, to understand their tolerance for risk, and to understand the time frames in which they need the money, and to allocate their portfolios that are appropriate for those two things, risk and time frames. Time frames takes in the concept of age. Okay, so that's job one. Job two is to stop our clients from doing dumb things. Because when the market does what yesterday was, you can very easily get people beginning to think about panicking and selling on the way down. And so, again, and we've talked about this before, it's so important to realize that the general investor in a market that on average over the past 70, 80 years has produced a 10 or 11% return, the general investor has realized 3% return. The reason is they're chasing the curve. They're doing dumb things. So the thing that is so important about an advisor is to have the kind of relationship with their clients where they can say, stop.
Right.
You know, this is not the right thing to do right now. Bear with it for a while. And then if you need to make some changes over time, but you don't do it in the heat of war, you know, in the fog of war, that's not the time to make these kinds of changes. And again, we're not seeing some economic meltdown. This isn't 2008.
No.
You know, we haven't had a bubble burst. We're just making some corrections in the market. They happen all the time. And that's what happened yesterday.
And people that had the, yes, the market was down for the year, but
flat, actually.
Flat. Okay, flat. And if you were properly allocated, your hit probably wouldn't be all that bad.
You'd probably be up 1 or 2% because if you were properly allocated, the unrealized gains and losses would have been offset by the dividends and interest that you were getting from your bond portfolio, and you'd have been okay.
How do you find out, what's the best way if someone wants to go to do a financial advisor like yourself, a certified financial planner, which is something you didn't just send away for a certificate for that?
No, I didn't get that online. That's 18 credits of master's level college work.
Yes.
And a 10-hour exam, and then 28 credits every 2 years of continuing education.
You didn't
credits.
Send in your $1.98.
I did not. I did not. This is serious stuff. Mm-hmm. But the best way to find somebody, if you don't have friends who can recommend, is to go to the CFP, the Certified Financial Planners website, and put in your geography, and you'll get a list of certified financial planner professionals. Or if you're really looking for somebody and you're listening to this show, just give me a call.
Yeah, and then you meet with someone, and this is an opportunity to kind of get to know, kind of a meet and greet.
Absolutely. Meet with at least three people.
Okay.
And ask tough questions. Mm-hmm. Don't be intimidated. And in fact, there's a great television commercial running now with two very intelligent people asking really bright questions about all sorts of scientific things. It's a couple, a guy and a woman, his wife, and they're asking really tough questions and everything. And they're sitting in front of the financial planner who says, well, I think you ought to get into our new fund. And they look at each other and say, okay. You know, because somehow financial planners are as intimidating as doctors.
No.
We shouldn't be.
No. Shelley is not an intimidating guy. He's a very good guy with a lot of good knowledge.
So if you get any recommendations from a financial planner, you should question them. You should ask why. You should want to know what the alternatives are. You should definitely – you are responsible for your own life, your own investments, your own portfolio. All the rest of us can do is tweak it a little bit, make sure it's allocated properly, and make sure when the hormones are running, you know, in the fear and greed parts of your brain, that you put a stop sign out and say, be careful here.
And find Shelley Fishman at BuckmasterShow.com.
You bet.
Yeah, take control of your own financial future, just like we urge people to take control of their own medical future. And we'll have our Your Meds segment coming up next.
Cool.
So you have to be your best consumer.
Nobody is going to do it for you.
That's right. Shelley, thank you. Have a good week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review, plus Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman from 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. You got bugs? They driving you up the wall? I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. You call my friend Shelby Hawkins at 886-0045. They are more than competent. They're very economical. And check this out. They're friendly to our environment. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for the monthly showdown featuring commentators David Morales and Sean McCluskey. Also, we'll meet Democratic Pima County Supervisors hopeful in District 1. His name is Brian Bickle. Buckmaster during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice with live streaming, podcasts, and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are in year number 6 of the Buckmaster Show. This is our kind of the initial week of year number 6, sort of celebrating our 5 years on the radio and looking forward to a lot more. It's time for our monthly segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. We call it Your Meds. Dr. Woosley is former University of Arizona College of Medicine Dean, founder and now President Emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute, commonly referred to as CPATH, Dr. Woosley's latest creation, another success for him and for us because it's very important to the consumer. It's the creation of Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from all over the world, 180 countries. Visit CredibleMeds.org today. Dr. Woosley, Happy New Year to you.
You too, Bill. Happy New Year.
Well, it's good to see you. And last year, our last session together in December, we were talking about some Tucson hospitals that had been, they had not been living up to expectation, let's put it that way.
Yeah, these data are a little old. We should point that out, that going back to 2014, several of the hospitals, and this is a problem all across the country, have been having too many patients injured by mistakes. And our hospitals didn't do as well as we would like, and I know they're working very hard to get that fixed. But it's a national problem, and it goes back to our message. You know, we have to take care of ourselves first, and you have to be your own advocate, and especially when you're in the hospital where you're most vulnerable.
And these hospitals will face fines.
The Medicare just announced that some of these hospitals are being fined now millions of dollars for not meeting the standards for safe practices.
You know, we were talking to Shelley, and I know you were in the waiting room listening, and we're talking about Shelley and taking control of your own financial future. Well, financial is very important in one's life, but so is, of course, our health. And so you really have to take control and take charge of your own medical safety.
Exactly. And it takes a team, but you're in charge of that team. You're the one that has the most invested and the most to benefit or the most to lose. So we emphasize, you know, take control. And that's a good New Year's resolution for everybody because, and I say everybody because almost everybody takes medicines. I don't know of anyone who doesn't take some. The average American takes 12 prescriptions per year. And most of people, you know, my age and around my age are taking 5 or 6 every day. So we rely on those medicines. So a New Year's resolution to get the most from them, you know, go out and get a pill box that you can keep up with your medicines if you're taking more than, well, I think if you're taking any, it's good to get them in a pill box any regularly.
And over-the-counter stuff is also a medicine.
Absolutely.
People think, well, we were talking before we went on the air that a lot of people take some of these like Advil and Tylenol. They take it like candy.
Yes. And these are drugs.
Yeah.
They can be very helpful, but they can also be harmful. And these are old drugs. We were also talking about how, you know, ibuprofen came out in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So that's 65 years ago. And acetaminophen is probably 100 years ago. That's Tylenol.
So take a printout. Is there an easy way to kind of print out what you're taking and maybe carry that around with you?
I think that's the other resolution I would recommend everybody. Keep up with your medicines, but keep a record of them. Keep it in your wallet. And if you're hit by a car and you go to the emergency room, they'll know what you're taking and they'll be aware of how that could affect the way they want to treat you. But we have on our website at Credible Meds, we spend a lot of time working with the College of Public Health and the College of Nursing here at the university to develop a user-friendly form that has the important information in terms that you can understand. And if you go to our website and go to the menu and it says My Medicines Form, click on that. It'll help you fill out a form that you can print. You can email it if you're that technically savvy. Or you can just print it and put it in your wallet. And you can even print one and write it by hand if you want to. But that record can be life-saving for you. Send it to your doctor. Take it with you when you go, because we've found that the record that you have of what you're taking isn't the same as what the doctor has most of the time. And because we go to different pharmacies, those pharmacies don't have the complete record. Only you will be able to have that complete record.
And if you're taking supplements, you should probably list every supplement you take along with your prescription medicine, mm-hmm. and also get that to your doctor.
Absolutely, because
there can be interactions.
Even though they're called natural and dietary supplements and this is not a drug, it is. These are medicines, and they interact with the other medicines you take dangerously sometimes. They can, St. John's wort can make very effective medicines stop working.
Mm. So, yeah, and if you're going to have surgery or something like that, it's really important to let your surgeon and the anesthesiologist know about natural supplements that you're taking.
Many of them affect
and
bleeding.
Medicines. Yes.
And if you're having surgery, you want to know that you're going to clot.
It's really stunning that number of Americans that die each year because of a reaction to their prescribed medication.
Yeah, these aren't overdoses.
Over 40,000 Americans die from really a bad reaction.
And many of those are preventable. And many of them are drug interactions. Some of them are the wrong person, the person taking the wrong medicine that was meant for somebody else. Sometimes it's because of the terminology, and that's why this list can be so important. When I had one of my patients fill out a list, I looked down and there's Lenoxin. And I looked a little further down and Digoxin. Well, they're the same thing. And they had gotten the Lenoxin one time at the pharmacy didn't use it all.
So they were like taking a double dose, in effect, of that. Yeah.
Yeah, a double dose of a medicine that can save your life, but at double the dose can take your life.
Well, it's so confusing to the consumer because these medicines, and of course, you're a physician, so you know all about these different medicines. But to the consumer, with these long names,
yes,
it's very difficult.
And multiple names. I mean, how many names are there out there for ibuprofen? Motrin, Advil. Those are all the same thing. People can be taking three of those and be getting triple the dose of ibuprofen, which, again, is a very safe medicine when you take the right dose.
Yeah, and when you think about it, when you have the Tylenol, Advil, and you have aspirin, and then you have the derivatives, the brands of those three, that's basically what we have over the counter in our kind of pain relief
And
portfolio.
Naprosyn's another one. And honestly, I can't keep up with them all. They've got so many different brand names. But Naprosyn's one category. Ibuprofen's a big one. And acetaminophen, as you mentioned, which is Tylenol. And then they've got migraine pills with the name migraine on them. And some of them have Tylenol in them. So if you're taking Tylenol and migraine medicines with Tylenol, you can wipe out your liver.
And there's caffeine in some of those too, right?
Exactly. Many of them have caffeine.
Yeah, caffeine is kind of like the chaser.
Right.
Ray Woosley, thank you very much. Folks should go to crediblemeds.org. It's easy to navigate that website, right?
We hope so. And if it isn't, you tell us. We'll make it better.
Thank you very much, Ray. Hope it's a great year for you. We'll see you in February.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Road trip. Hey, it's always a good time to hit the road and go over to Silver City. And that corner of southwest New Mexico is very, very pretty. It's a beautiful part of the southwestern United States. They've been getting some beautiful weather over there, clear in the day and snow at night. So it's been great. And great places to stay, like Cottage of Whispering Canyon and Agave Ridge Retreat, just to name a few. The full listing of places to stay and things to do is at southwestnewmexico.org. Our Buckmaster Arts Report, presented by Fox Tucson Theater, with Margaret Regan of the Tucson Weekly, that's coming up next.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:48 on this Tuesday afternoon. The Buckmaster Arts Report is sponsored by the crown jewel of downtown Tucson, Fox Tucson Theater, the Fox Theater 2016 entertainment season. Wow, it is loaded with great performances. Beginning this Thursday, January 7th, Jack Hanna, Into the Wild Live, America's most beloved animal expert, brings his very family-friendly show to the Fox stage. That's Thursday, this Thursday evening at 6:30. Then, January 20th, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Dave Mason presents Dave Mason's Traffic Jam. As a teen, Mason Steve Winwood co-founded the band Traffic. Enjoy a career of songs and legendary guitar work of Dave Mason on January 20th as the Fox Theater presents Dave Mason's Traffic Jam. To see the full Fox schedule and to purchase tickets to see shows such as Jack Hanna's Into the Wild Live, Dave Mason's Traffic Jam, and Travis Tritt solo acoustic tour, and Jay and the Americans coming, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan. Margaret has been writing for the Tucson Weekly since 1990. She's very well known in our area, of course, in the art scene. She's the author of two very popular books on immigration. Her latest is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. That book has been getting great reviews, and she's been traveling the country speaking about the book. Margaret, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you after the holidays?
I'm doing very well, and you had a trip to your hometown of the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area to talk about the book. How did that go?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was just great. You know, it was so fun. You know, I grew up in Philadelphia, and many of my family are still there, and the thing especially touching for me was that, you know, I've written about my Irish immigrant ancestors who died young in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I was giving that talk in a place very close to where they lived and died. And it was just very touching to me because most of what I do on immigration, all the work I do about the immigrants now, is inspired by the travails of my own ancestors. So that was very wonderful.
Yeah, both of us come from an Irish background, and at one time, boy, the signs were up. No, we're not hiring Irish people.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, those people had very hard lives, died young, you know, in real poverty and poor health conditions in the big East Coast cities. So I see so many parallels to the immigration debates today in which we, you know, we take against a certain group of people. That's what we did for our ancestors. So that's inspiring to me to talk about it.
Last week's story, it's still available, right, on the Tucson Weekly, your piece about the respected Roberto Bedoya. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He has been very respected at the TPAC.
Right.
He is leaving, and you wrote about that, and actually two January shows that came about in part because of some grants that he was able to secure.
Right. Yeah, you know, Roberto was in that job for 9 years, and that is no easy task, you know, that was during the recession, you know, with a loss of, I think he told me the budget was cut by somewhere in the vicinity of 50% over the years he was there, but he was indefatigable in raising outside money from foundations, you know, private foundations, as well as the National Endowment for the Arts. And he had these wonderful grants called PLACE grants, in which he was paying artists, giving artists grants to go out and do work in the community and benefiting local neighborhoods and people. One of the shows coming up the end of this month in January is an interesting thing where a band in Tucson called Vox Urbana, they're a Kumbo band, very popular, play at Club Congress and so forth, they were given money to sit down and interview people in Tucson who we might not hear about normally. And as it happens, they did talk to a lot of undocumented immigrants, and they took those stories and created a song cycle.
Hmm.
So they're doing a whole concert of these songs based on the lives of local people. You know, it's the kind of thing that wouldn't happen normally. And the musician I interviewed for my story told me that they even paid their interviewees, you know, who were taking time out of their own lives, you know, struggling to earn their own livings. And so this grant not only paid the artists, but it paid people in the community to participate, which is a wonderful thing. And another show coming up is a photography show at the Tucson Museum of Art that Kathleen Velo, a local photographer, got one of Bedoya's New Works grants. Those are really interesting photos taken from the bottom of the Colorado River, if you can fathom the technology that Kathleen used to do that. So, you know, Roberto did a lot for this town. So many shows, you know, wouldn't have happened, and so many art projects wouldn't have happened without his hard work. And, you know, they say they're going to carry on at the Arts Council, but the big grant that he had for these neighborhood grants, they were called place grants. We don't have that right now. So it will be interesting and, you know, a little trepidatious to see what's going to happen now with the Arts Council.
Yeah, that was, of course, my next question now with Roberto moving on. Do they have a big search going on, or are they deciding really what they want to do?
No, well, they already sort of had a successor in place. He told me he got a little bit of a health scare back in August. I guess he turned out to be fine, but he was just so tired. They all agreed he would step into a position in which he basically, you know, sought these grants and did these neighborhood things. And they already hired a new executive director, a woman named Debbie Chase Maybe. So she's already in place, and she said, you know, she respects and admires everything Roberto did. So she'll, you know, try to continue as many things as she can, but she does not have the money at this moment for those place grants. So we'll see.
New show at Atherton is a painting show. And normally, of course, the Atherton Gallery is so associated with photography.
Right. Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They have three local painters in this show. Atherton is billing it as the new figurative painting, because all of them paint, while not in a realistic style exactly, you know, certainly in a way that you can see what the things are. You know, it's definitely not abstraction. Titus Costanza, he's an artist who's gotten a lot of attention in town. His paintings to me almost look like updated Impressionism, and they're scenes of modern life in Tucson. So that should be interesting. And, you know, Chris Rush is the guy. He's a very talented painter who, whether you ever saw him, I don't know, but he did a whole series of disabled people. Some years back, he went to these places where disabled children are served and did these beautiful portraits of children with really severe disabilities, and sort of, you know, brought a luminosity to them and their bodies, which are damaged in some way. So he's a really interesting painter, too. And the third one, I don't know his work as of yet, Wes Hempel. But okay, that big opening is Saturday night. And, yeah, you're right, it's exciting. Atherton is known primarily for its photography, but, you know, they do a lot with local painters as well, so this should be exciting to see.
So that's opening 7 to 10 p.m. This Saturday night downtown,
right,
at the Atherton Gallery.
Yeah.
And we were speaking of our Irish heritage. We've got Riverdance opening, I think, tonight.
Yes, we do, and I'm going tonight, Bill, to Riverdance in my dancing shoes. I'm a huge fan of Irish step dancing, and, mm-hmm, you know, it's wonderful. We have several schools in this town who churn out award-winning child step dancers. They go to Ireland even and win competitions. This is kind of a different animal because it's a glitzy Broadway-style show, Riverdance. Great big, sound production, many, many, many dancers and musicians, but... So it's a little, you know, I go more for the authentic, but mm-hmm, Riverdance for sure hires amazing dancers, and they are doing, you know, Irish step dancing. So they're extremely talented and energetic, and, you know, they have so many dancers on the stage at once that it's just exciting and amazing, and, you know, there's that percussive effect from the shoes. And as far as the musicians, they also hire top Irish traditional musicians. You know, oftentimes, in Ireland, they have all these competitions that you can win. You can be the All-Ireland Fiddler of the Year, that kind of thing.
Very arts-oriented Ireland.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, they have a lot of those, you know. So it's a little glitzy, you mm-hmm know, a lot of showbiz lights and stuff, but it really is, people who are in it are extremely talented.
Margaret, we will look for your work in the Tucson Weekly and, of course, your book, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. And until next month, early next month, Margaret, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill, for having me.
All right. The Buckmaster Arts Report, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, Saturday, January 23rd at the Fox Theater presenting the Grammy Award winner Travis Tritt and his solo acoustic tour. Visit foxtucson.com to purchase tickets to see Travis Tritt on January 23rd and to view the 2016 Fox Tucson lineup of new live shows, events, and classic films. This month, three Tucson Jazz Festival shows will be at the Fox. See Jimmy Heath and the Tucson Jazz Institute Ellington Band, January the 14th. Pancho Sanchez and his La Voice de Trace on January 21st. The Rad Trads and Arthur Malignzi on January 22nd. The 31st of January, the Fox presents The Temptations, followed by David Faraday Live on February 2nd. The Fab Four Ultimate Beatles Tribute, Saturday, February 6th. Miss Lisa Fisher and Grand Baton on February 12th. And the Kingston Trio performing on Valentine's Day, February 14th. So, folks, there is plenty of great shows available coming up at the Fox. Check it out at foxtucson.com. This afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5. Ray Allen will be engineering that show. We'll be back with 4 hours of talk from 6 to 10 tomorrow. Wake Up Tucson, the first half of that 4 hours, and then the Daily Double. Chris DeSimone and a guest host, Sean McCluskey, will be having his show, 9 to 10. Then Sean comes back for the Buckmaster Monthly Showdown tomorrow at noon. So he'll be a busy guy. I'm Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.